And we're on. Hello, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and this is North Shore Sports Night. A funny little Monday night thing that Tim and I started. God, when was it, Tim? Was it an 05 or 06?
06.
06. So we've been doing this for how many years is that?
15.
Okay, something like that. I mean,
you're the math teacher, Rick.
Yeah.
I can tell you the history. I just can't, you know, do the math.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you just did because I can't. All righty then. Let me kill the music. All right. So tonight, Tim, we're going to have a little bit of a low-key night here this evening, and I think it's earned. I'm really excited to be about bringing in Donato Ventura. He is the Danny Ventura of the Boston Herald, and he has been with the Herald as their high school sports editor for incredibly now 30 years. This is his 30th anniversary month this month, and great to be having Danny on. He's so knowledgeable, such a nice man as well, and just does a great story, a great deal with stories on high school sports here in Eastern Massachusetts. We'll also be checking in with Gary Larrabee, as we do every Monday here, on golf and other things. And then we're going to wrap up the Celtics season and maybe look forward to the NBA Finals with Mike Grenier. Mike, very, very upset over the Celtics loss. I'm not. I think Miami outplayed them. I think they're a better team. But I've been reading a lot, Tim, about the fact that, you know, maybe the Celtics choked in this series.
I don't know if you necessarily call it choke. I think they had lapses. They had some inconsistency. Certain guys didn't step up when they were absolutely, you know, needed. You know, people were criticizing Hayward all over the Twitter feed today, but you know, the guy was coming back and what you got from him may have been optimal, but he was, again, inconsistent. But that has to do with the fact that he hasn't played. And, you know, was it the fact that no one wanted to own it? You know, you had, back in the day, you know, you had Bird who wanted to own it. Bird said, give me the ball and get out of the way. Maxwell once said, you know, give me the ball, jump on my back.
Yep.
And did we have anybody absolutely say that to the team? Follow me. You know? And that may have been a hard point. There were people that were critical of Kemba Walker, that he didn't lead the way that they thought he should have. So it'd be interesting to get Mike's take on those things. Was it just a lack of someone stepping up and putting it on their shoulders and saying, follow me?
But, Tim, you know? Tim, turn it around to the other side now. You're a Miami fan, and what do you say there? You say, hey, we outplay the Celtics. We're better than the Celtics.
Well, this goes to show you that being a 3 or a 5 seed doesn't mean a whole lot in the NBA or in most other leagues, because it's who's going to play on a given day, who's going to get the most balanced effort from their players, who's going to get the biggest contribution from their bench. Because we know the role that benches play in these games, that when the starters get into foul trouble, you've got to have guys stepping up and making contributions. And I saw a discouraging fact the other night on the Celtics bench versus the Miami bench, and they were totally outplayed.
Well, Mike said that a couple of weeks ago when the Celtics moved to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. He said that. He said, you know, it looks like Miami's a lot deeper than Boston. And so it came to pass. And to me, I don't know, maybe I'm the outlier in this thing. It's like, okay, you know, they did okay. They played the best they could, and they lost. I thought they were better than this, but maybe they're not. Well, they're not. They're obviously not. They're not better than this. They lost. So, you know, it's sports, and that's the way it is. Now, people are calling. I saw something the other day also, Tim. We'll bring it up with Mike, but, you know, I forget. It might have been, I don't know who it was, but saying, you know, well, is this the last year for Brad Stevens? If he can't get, do you have to win a championship to not be fired?
Well, Doc Rivers found out that, you have to win a championship. 6 years, the all-time winningest coach, got him to the playoffs 6 out of the 7 years, and yet you know, not good enough, and he's in the unemployment line now.
Wow. I didn't realize that. I had no idea. Man. I don't know, man. I'm glad I was a teacher. Jeez. Holy cow. Whoa. Wow. I don't think I want to talk about the Red Sox except this one kid, the pitcher. Is it Hauck or Hauck? H-A-U-C-K?
Yeah, I would pronounce it Hauck.
But I mean, 3-0. He gave up one earned run in three starts. He's averaging 10, 12 strikeouts a game.
Yeah, you know, there's something to look forward to for the spring. Hopefully he'll stay healthy, you know, and won't come down sick or, you know, go through the shower door like some of the Red Sox guys have done in the past.
Or take a bus to Israel, you know.
Yeah, you know, so... you know, it's crazy the way some of their... the young potential stars actually, you know, go down. So we'll have to see. You know, the first baseman, Dalbec, he played well.
Yep.
You know, is he someone for the future? You know, it's just that some of the parts were just like, oh my God, who are you putting out there?
You know, Coach, I hate to admit this because I've been a Red Sox fan since 1958. I didn't watch one full inning of a game this entire 60-game season.
I'm sure you weren't alone.
Okay.
In that, I'm not sure I watched an entire top and bottom of an inning as well in the games that I did bother to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I found the team uninspiring. It was like watching at times a minor league game, and I'm not sure what level it actually was.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Might have been single A. I think the futures give you more excitement, but we can continue this later. Also, you know, the polar opposite of that, for me anyway, is the exciting play of the Patriots, and we'll see if we can pick this up on the other side. Right now I need to take a break, Tim, and then we'll check in with Danny Ventura. He is the high school sports editor of the Boston Herald in his 30th year at the Herald, and I just find that incredible, really hard to believe. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
All righty then. We are back with Danny Ventura, Donato Ventura, Danny V of the Boston Herald. And I hesitate to use this phrase, the longtime high school sports editor. Danny, I'm looking, this is your 30th anniversary month, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Well, congratulations, I'm sure. It's a surprise to me. I'm sure it's not a surprise to you, but damn, that's a
quick... It actually was. I didn't even know until somebody put it on Twitter.
Is that right? Oh, man.
No, I honestly didn't know it was 30 years.
Well, you know, it's weird. When I remember my first experience with a sports writer in the Boston papers was with Larry Ames when I was with WESX. I think it was back in the 80s or maybe even the late 70s. When you got to the Herald, was there such thing as a high school sports editor? Were you guys, was the Herald covering high school sports in detail at that time?
Yeah, then Bob Holmes was the high school sports editor at the Herald, and then he left a few years later to go to the Globe. But at that time, when I started at the Herald in 1990, Bob Holmes was the sports editor.
I didn't realize that. How has it changed for you, Danny? Because back then, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was all telephone, wasn't it? Were you able to traverse the area? It was mostly by telephone, yes?
Yeah, I mean, the most up-to-date thing we had was a fax machine.
Yeah.
that was as up-to-date as we got then. But it's a totally different game now. I mean, you know, with the internet, the Twitter, things like this, social media has just gone out of control. So it's a totally different ball game.
You had to build. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
You know, dude, congratulations on the 30 years. And when Rick made mention of it to me, I said to him, it seems like he's been there longer. Because you, along with a very select group of sports writers in the Boston area, I would consider institutions.
Yep.
I think he's been there longer. That doesn't seem
now, wait a minute. Now, when you say did you mean institution, or I should be in an institution for being here that long?
Well, you know.
No. You know what I mean. You know,
yeah,
you
should be institutionalized. So
we all know there are people out here who should be institutionalized. But I mean, but whose, you know, whose name, whose reputation, for the quality of work, you mentioned Harold, and your name comes up in the sports department, go to the Globe, and you know, and there's Shaughnessy and Bob Ryan, you know, in institutions, and for their contribution, theirs more on the professional level, yours on the high school level. It certainly is due a tremendous amount of accolades and appreciation for what you have done for high school sports. You know, I remember going to several football games and knowing who you were, because you had no idea who I was, but I went up, I introduced myself, asked if I could interview you at the end of the game, and you said, yeah, no problem, and we'd hook up and we'd do a short piece for the website, And you were so gracious to extend yourself to, you know, to something you really didn't need to do it, but you did it as a professional. And I always really appreciated that.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. It's very kind of you to say. I mean, I'm no better than anyone else. You know, we're all in it for the right reasons. We're all in it for the same thing. We're in it for the kids. I mean, it's all about the kids. That's how I've always taken it.
Danny, that what Tim said, all of that and more. I mean, he couldn't have said it better. But it leads me to ask a question about where you are, because one of the things as teachers, we always tell our kids, you know, go after something you love, and if you can get a career in that, then it's really it's a joy. You know, it's not really a chore. You have been at the Herald doing what you do, and so in such a great way, as Tim mentioned. But it must be a two-way street. I mean, you're obviously enjoying what you do. You're still incredibly good at it, great at it. But you're still at that one, as Tim said, you're an institution at this one place. So it's going to be a two-way street. It must be something that you've wanted to do.
I certainly love it. But I mean, I got to be honest. You know, a lot of it. My wife is a big part of this. She's allowed me to do this. You know, she's lived the life of a widow 10 months a year. So that makes it a lot easier. And as far as the paper has been fantastic. They've always been a big supporter of high school sports. You know, whatever we've needed, they've never said no. And that makes it a lot easier for us, you know, to try to do the job properly. When you've got bosses above you who realize how important high schools are to the community, and it makes my job a lot easier, and I've got a phenomenal staff, too.
I'm going to give it back to Tim in a second here, but I just want to follow up on the early years versus now. Then it was the telephone. Now it's so many other different aspects, and maybe you could talk about how technology has changed things for your job, Danny, and the fact that you're still out there on the road. You still see, you know, we see your face everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing, but in some ways it actually has gotten easier. I mean, you know, with the modern technology, things you would really have to spend hours making phone calls. For instance, through email, you could send one email to 30 or 40 coaches, whereas in the old days, you'd have to make 30 or 40 phone calls. So in that regard, that's made it a lot easier. you know what? I do miss, you know, in this day and age with Twitter, everything is like, it's got to be this second. It's got to be now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the old days, you could take your time doing a good story. That part I miss. You don't have that. The time element is totally different than it used to be.
Tim?
Yeah, you know, certainly, that certainly is. You know, when I was coaching baseball, I'd have to sit down at the end of the game and I'd have my sheet in the back of my scorebook or my binder with all the local newspapers, including the Globe, the Herald, and sit down there for half an hour, 45 minutes, and call all the newspapers,
yeah,
and give them all the, you know, the outcome and some key stats from both teams, and you know, and hope that it would get in the papers. Now, like you said, you know, you could send one general email with the results, with the stats, and you're done in 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, that part has certainly made our job a lot easier, no question about it.
Dan, can I ask you a little bit now about, I'm not trying to get off the anniversary thing. I think it's just great, and I do, we are just, I'm in awe of that. In terms of what's happened from March to now, can you give me your synopsis of that? Because it seemed like back in March we're thinking, okay, football, we'll be ready in September. And then in June or July, it was like, oh, God, there's not going to be any sports at all. And now we're sort of in, you know, halfway between those things. Can you give me sort of a little bit of a, as I said, a synopsis on how things have been from your perspective with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, when I first heard this, we were in the Garden for the state semifinals.
Yep.
Beverly was playing back.
Yep, we were there, yep.
And all of a sudden they're saying, you know, the possibility because of this COVID thing, they might not play the state finals. And I'm like, are you serious?
Mm.
I mean, if you had told me that night we weren't going to have spring sports, I would have said, you're out of your mind. I figured this could be like a weekend thing, maybe a week or two. And all of a sudden, you know, another week here, another MIA meeting, they're pushing it down. And all of a sudden, you know, they're talking, there's going to be no spring sports. And we're like, you know, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you still have to try to generate stuff. You know, we were fortunate. You know, I've got several people on my staff are very creative. You know, we came up with a lot of ideas. It wasn't easy, but, you know, we were able to fill space. But, I mean, I'm still stunned that we're where we are right now. I mean, I never would have thought we were going through this. I mean, this is not something you prepare for. There's no game plan for this.
What's your reaction or what's your discovery in terms of – I don't know, researching how schools are back at it, because I know here, on the North Shore, the Cape Ann League, the Northeastern Conference pulled the plug, first of all. They were the first to pull the plug and said, hey, no sports. But then Masconomet, the kids got together with Danvers. They did a rally, you know, in Danvers Square a few weeks ago. And then the school committees are saying, well, we think we can do this. How's it been, across Eastern Mass?
I mean, I think most of the people are probably in agreement with the Northeastern Conference. Look, I just feel, you know, that safety has to be number one. But if you can proceed safely, I mean, I understand football is an issue, and I'm okay with that. But I look at these other sports, and, I mean, for instance, golf. I mean, you can't, you know, these schools are saying, well, we can't do this. I mean, how can you not golf?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, soccer, they put in some modifications. I mean, they've been playing in Europe all summer. You know, I mean, things can be done. And I applaud everyone. I know that some people have gotten irritated with some of the rules, but, you know, as the Andover field hockey coach, Maureen Noon, said, look, it can be a headache, but she says, I'm not going to be negative about this. I'm just thrilled I'm getting a chance to coach my girls.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Let's get them out there.
I think the coaches have been receptive to the changes, even though, you know, they don't necessarily like them. But the kids are back in competition. They're out on the field, and it's been pretty creative. And I think all in all, what's your assessment, Dan, about the MIAA's relationship with us? Because I've trashed them for years, but I think they did a pretty admirable job overall with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like you. You know, rarely am I on the side of the MIAA, and I think they've been kind of startled that I haven't knocked them, but I don't see what they've done wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, people got mad at them in the spring, and, you know, the one thing that people have always, myself included, have always criticized them for is that in the past they were never proactive. They would wait till something happened, and that's a lot of times when you do that, that's when problems happen. Here, they were proactive. They were saying, look, if we can have a spring season, this is when it's going to happen. And people were saying, oh, they built the kids' hopes up. Well, no, they didn't. What they did is they put a plan out there in the event that you could play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't say you know that you were going to be able to, but you had to have something in place, and at least they tried.
I really
can't fault the MIA for what's going on here.
I got to turn it back over to Tim here in a second, but I have a question, and I don't know if there's really an answer to this, but have you followed anybody, I guess a better way to phrase this is, how has it gone for the kids, the seniors who didn't play in the springtime, and now they're in college? Have you any ideas on how it's gone for any of those kids?
They were depressed, to say the least. You know, a lot of these kids, I mean, they look forward to that senior season, you know, their last chance to go out in glory, and it's taken away from them. And it's just, you know, kids would just, you know, feel like they, you know, there's an empty feeling.
Yeah. Tim?
Well, let's break it away from the MIA, because, you know, I have a whole different opinion about the sports going back and everything. But professionally, Dan, Celtics just exited. Sox have finally stopped playing, if we could even say they actually ever started. The Pats are looking better than I think a lot of people expected at this point in the season, being 2-1. There's rumors being thrown around about coming back to coach
Alex Cora.
Cora.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers just got canned.
Yeah.
Out in L.A. What are your thoughts on what's happening locally in the pro scene?
Well, start with the Red Sox. I mean, they clearly, you know, I feel bad for Ron Renicki because he was certainly set up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I compare him to what happened with the Celtics did with MLK years ago, right before Rick Pitino came. I mean, he was in a no-win situation, and the same thing happened here. I mean, you know, they set Ron Renicki up for failure. You know, they had no pitching whatsoever. And, you know, I think I'd be shocked if Cora's not coming back next year. Now, I do think the Red Sox, you know, they'll have a high draft pick. They cut a lot of money. I see them going out and getting a starting pitcher or two. I mean, their lineup is solid. I mean, you know, Benintendi is going to have to get better. I mean, I think he was very disappointing. I think Devers and Bogart, you know, they're building blocks, you know, for the next 10 years. As far as the Celtics, I mean, I'm still irritated. I mean, I watched that game, and the game was, you know, if Miami was clearly better, I could live with it. But you can't tell me they were a better team. The game was there for the taking, and they didn't take it. The things that got them in a position to win, they stopped doing. They're driving to the basket. They went lazy, you know, settling for the three-point shots, and Miami took advantage. And for the Patriots, as long as they got Belichick there, and they've got a motivated Cam Newton. I don't know if this is a good enough team to win the Super Bowl, but these predictions are 4-12, 6-10. That's not happening.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton, I compare him to what happened when they brought in Darrell Revis a few years ago. You know, Revis was playing for a contract. I mean, Cam is certainly, he knows that if he doesn't have a good year, you know, there's going to be nothing, you know, next year. And I think he's drank the Belichick Kool-Aid. You know, he says all the right things. The players seem to love him. And he's doing everything right. I mean, you can't argue with the signing.
Awesome. Hey, Dan, you mentioned something a little while ago. I want to circle around back to that if I could, please. You mentioned your staff. You mentioned you had a great staff. Can you tell me a little bit about who's on your staff and kind of maybe what they do and what they cover?
Yeah, most of them, I mean, they'll cover anything. I mean, you know, Greg Dudek and Matt Sull are probably the two most high-profile guys I have. They're out there a lot. Matt was really, you know, at the cornerstone, you know, not to, you know, change subjects. My dad passed away at the end of May, so a lot of this COVID stuff with these meetings in June and July, Matt really took, you know, he was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That he took, you know, he followed the meetings. He was on top of it, you know. And this is a kid who was only 22 years old.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he acted like he was 50. You know, he was just terrific. You know, Greg is a guy that is very respected. You can send him anywhere. You know, up in the North Shore, a lot of people know Catherine Cornetta, or better known as Cat. You know, she'll do a lot of field hockey, gymnastics, sports like that. You know, I've got a guy named Brian Fabry, who's probably my longest tenured guy. He's been with me for 20 years. And I've got David Pollard, Brian Roach, and Tom Mulhern. Those are guys who, you know, they'll do a lot of the grunt work, you know, answer the phone calls, you know, do the roundups and things like that. And just, you know, those guys, you know, they make it work. You know, without a decent staff, you're really... And I'm sure if you talk to Phil Stacey, he'd tell you the same thing about his staff.
Well, it's top down. I know that from my experience, and so does Tim. And I was going to ask you what's up for the next 30 years, but I'm going to pull it in a little bit. What can we look forward to maybe this week in the Herald in terms of schoolboys? I said schoolboy. Well, in terms of high school sports.
Yeah, we'll have our Eastern Mass previews. We're going to get the golf should be in the paper in the next couple of days. We'll have soccer previews in the paper. We're going to have a field hockey preview. We'll have stories, and we'll be getting out there covering stuff in the next week or so.
I look forward to seeing you again this season, Dan, wherever and whenever. Thank you so much for taking the time, and I know I'm going to join with Tim and say, hey, congratulations, and keep it going, man.
I will. Hey, thanks so much, guys. You guys do a fantastic job as well.
You're very kind, Dan. Thank you. Take care.
Rick. Bye, Tim.
All right, bye-bye. That is Danny V, the famous Donato Ventura of the Boston Herald. Tim, that was fun, huh?
Yeah, he's great to talk to.
Oh, he's awesome.
I mean, you know, he's been around. He's received dozens of accolades and awards over the years. And he's just refreshing because he's just a regular guy who loves high school sports.
Does a great job and gets into it, too. Yeah, I love that. And so positive. And it was great meeting him in so many different places. Just awesome. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll check in with Gary Larrabee on golf and other things as well. And we'll finish up with Mike Grenier on basketball, as again, we're talking sports writers here today and sports reporters. And then next week, we'll probably have a lot more coverage of high school sports as it'll begin in earnest next week. Only a couple of things on the schedule here this week. So again, this is North Shore Sports Night. Thank you for joining us. We will take a break and we'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we're back now with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, and I have actually linked to all the books that Gary has available in terms of sports history, and you can just click on it here on our website and on our post. And Gary, longtime sports writer and just knowledgeable in so much. But let's talk some sports here. We were Gary, the sports season for high school sports is mostly still on getting ready, but for golf, is it underway?
Well, thankfully, we had one golf match over the weekend. Bishop Fenwick played Archbishop Williams and beat them. by a score of 185 to 169, which means the high school golf season, which thought that might not ever be played at all, is now very much being played. It was down at Heather Hill Country Club in Plainville. I'm sorry, that's what Bishop Fenwick is playing today, down at Heather Hill Country Club in Plainville against Bishop Feehan. But congratulations to the Fenwick golf team. And it will be there'll be a trivia question 30 years from now, guys, or maybe 25 years from now, asking who was the first school and what was the first sport that played after the pandemic struck us all down in 2020. So maybe in 2045 we'll have the answer, which of course will be Bishop Fenwick in golf, and they won their first match. And that was the official beginning of the fall high school sports season around here. Thank goodness.
I wonder if we'll be talking about this 25 years from now. That's a good one. I like that.
Well, good for Fenwick. Cade Buckley played very well for Fenwick, as did Gavin Belt. Give a few kids a mention. So did John Bennett and Brandon Bloom. They were the four key point contributors. But also we should add Alex Gonzalez and Jason Romans and Stephen Woods, all contributed to the Fenwick victory. So let's hope we have a lot more golf and a lot more high school golf to talk about over the next several weeks, guys.
Before I turn it over to Tim, how do you score in high school golf, Gary? I have no idea how that's done.
There are many ways. It can be match play, head-to-head, one player against another player for nine holes. They can do it strictly based on stroke play for nine holes. You never know. There's all different types of scoring systems available when a high school team is playing another team. They're always playing nine-hole matches. And in this case, I think it was a quota format. And using a quota format, you get so many points for a par, so many points for a birdie, so many points for an eagle, which is very rare, or two under par in a certain hole. But obviously in this Fenwick match with Archbishop Williams, there's been a lot of pars, probably a few birdies, and they ring up an awful lot of points.
Gotcha. Thank you. You there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I always, you know, that's a great question, Rick, because I'm always trying to figure out, how did they get 185 points?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, when I first saw the score Sunday in the Globe yesterday, I said, cheap is usually the low score wins, not the high score. But that made me realize they weren't playing stroke play, like a cumulative stroke play for the different matches and whatnot. They were playing a quota format. So that's why the team with the most number of points won the match, not the opposite.
Got it. Okay.
Tim, are you happy to see Hudson Swafford finally went on the PGA Tour over the weekend?
Jumping Jesus. Gary, I turned the match on yesterday. I looked at the leaderboard, and I went, who? I didn't see a name that I knew. And I'm thinking, holy mother of God, is this like the everybody else tournament where, you know, if you're not a name player, you get to play in this one because everybody else is basically done for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, it's obviously most of the big names were all taking the week off. It was in a beautiful golf course in the Dominican Republic. Locally, Rob Oppenheim had a so-so week. He finished tied for 33rd, 7 under par. He made 29,000, which is a bad, but not very good by the standards they set out there on the tour. He had two great middle rounds, 67, 69, but his first and last rounds were not good, 72, 73. But Rob is back at it this week. They're playing the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi, not too far to travel from the Dominican Republic, but far enough. But Rob will be back at it on Thursday, and of course we're starting to all look at him just very slowly, starting to look forward to the Masters on November 12th through 15th.
Mm. Yeah, that's going to be one I think that you're going to find, as usual, you know, people zeroing in on, simply, you know, one, the location, the course is always immaculate, and the heritage of the tournament itself, and to see who's going to win, at Augusta. Who's going to walk away with the green jacket? And this year, just so many people have been winning, Gary. It's kind of hard to actually pick a definite winner. I know they're going to be the favorites. Your Dustin Johnson is going to be up there. Justin Thomas, I'm sure, will get consideration. Will be, you know, there'll be a lot of money bet on him.
And don't forget Superman, Mr. Muscle,
right?
Bryson DeChambeau, who just won,
right?
The U.S. Open.
But you go through all the tournaments this year, and been so many winners, and you know, Fujiyama is going to be considered a guy that can, you know, not necessarily sneak up on people because he's had recent success. So you're going to figure that, you know, there's going to be money put on him. But as always, it's going to be who shows up on those 4 days, puts together the best rounds, can fight off challenges on Sunday afternoon, you know, and walk away with the green.
It'll be interesting to see how the players all use their strategy between now and then to get into top form, how many events they'll play in between now and then, and how many they don't play in. But we'll look forward to that. And the countdown, we'll begin the countdown right now. How about that for the Masters, November 12th through 15th? And we'll all be looking forward to that. On the local basis, guys, we should talk about the Massachusetts Seniors Championship is Wednesday and Thursday down at Willow Bend down the Cape. We have a very strong group of local players who will be playing in that. Among them, John Perry, David McKechnie, Mike McKenna, several players from Salem, Jim Steferi, Michael Williams, and Kevin McIntyre all come from Salem. Frank Vanner, a former champion who just won the New England Seniors, will be in the field, you know, if he plays at a Ferncroft locally. Also, Steve Camara from Ferncroft. So we'll have a great local group that could make it happen down there at Willow Bend Wednesday and Thursday. 36-hole stroke play. We'll see how it goes over those next 2 days.
You know, Gary, I never get tired of talking about skiing. Do you ever get tired about talking about golf?
Well, it gets in the blood after a while.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but
let's keep talking about one interesting note. A very prominent member of the North Shore golf community passed away recently, which we were not aware of. He's been living out in California for several years, but I want to make note of the fact that the longtime Salem and Tedesco member Andy Buckley passed away at the age of 77 out in Los Angeles. But he was a major force around here, just as an observer of the game of golf, not much of a player. His son, you may remember his son, Andy Jr., was an outstanding junior player. And he went into acting. He's now a little bit of a interesting factor in some television shows. You Google Andy Buckley Jr., you learn all about him. Andy also was the former publisher of The Golf Review, which was published locally in Salem. For several years, he published that. So Andy loved golf and didn't play very much, but we want to make note of his passing.
Well, thank you. Gary, I have linked to the books that are available as best as I could find them that you have written, and you know it's pretty much focused on golf, not entirely on golf. Do you have, when you're able to do the research that you've done and to get as much information down in word and in prose or at least in nonfiction form, is there something that you look back on and say, yeah, I'm really proud of this one? Is there one thing in particular, or is it a sense of accomplishment and then you're on to the next thing?
Well, it's like asking which of your children is your favorite.
There
child.
You go.
I can't answer that question without making reference to that. No, they've all been exciting. My first book, of course, was Salem Country Club and 1995, my most recent book. I should know it.
I'm looking at Rockport Golf Club Centennial. Let's see. What's the other one?
Kermit was in 2014.
Yep.
Been working on Charles River for a couple of years. Here we are, 2020.
How many books you work on at the same time?
You shouldn't do that, but I did do it a couple of times, and it worked out fine. But they're all great because you meet such wonderful mm-hmm. people doing these kinds of projects, Rick, and the money's good, but the joy of meeting so many new people, making so many new friends, and hopefully making them happy when you finally put together a history of an institution like St. John's Prep, Beverly Hospital, Bishop Ferrick, which I've done, or of a golf club, it's quite rewarding, and I hope to have at least one more getting this Charles River Country Club project finished for next year. But it's been a great run, and I'm thrilled to have been a part of the golf scene primarily, and some other interesting institutional scenes as well.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff on here. Before I give it back to Tim, just one quick question on reporting and writing. Obviously, you know, these are relatively late 20th and early 21st century stuff, but is it easier now, Gary, to compile information with these voice recorders so that you can go back and transcribe it?
It takes a one half dozen of the other. It certainly can make it easier, but I've always been it can be helpful, yes. Nothing that I've taken too much advantage of, but the technology has been very helpful, of course, in the research part of it. And, of course, the technology has also been much easier in the interviewing part of it. So mm-hmm. you still have to do the legwork. You still have to do the organizational work. And as long as you do it organized and you know who to interview and you know who you're working with at the organization, they usually have a happy ending.
All right, Tim.
All right, Gary. Knowing you're a longtime Celtics fan, what is the level of your disappointment in their exit against Miami?
Well, they got what they deserved last night, and they're close, but they're not quite there yet. And as my colleague at the Salem News, Nick Giannino, put it out today, still a couple of missing parts. I'm not 100% sure what those missing parts are, but they got to figure out how they're going to pay Brown and Tatum in particular. They only have to deal with Hayward for one more year. I'm afraid he's not up to par. He wasn't up to par last night and never really got in sync in this series, and I'm afraid he's too injury-prone at this stage of his career to be much of a factor with the team going forward. But they are stuck with him for one more year at like $34 million, so I don't know how they'll figure that out. But they're close, but Miami deserved to win the series. I'll be rooting hard as hell for Miami starting Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, they're an exciting team to root for. They got great shooters. I'm almost just looking forward to that matchup. Anything to beat LeBron James, which is almost my least favorite player in the NBA, like Tiger Woods is my least favorite member of the PGA Tour.
Oh, God. Hey, Gary, can we do it again next week? You up for it?
Of course. I hope it's a great series, guys. We'll hopefully have something great to talk, some great golf as well as some basketball to talk about next week.
Always great talking with you. Thank you so much, Gary, for all the great stuff. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and stay well and stay safe, guys.
Same to you, Gary.
Hey, Gary, you too.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
That is Gary Larrabee, who was a sports historian, golf writer, as Tim just brought out of him, pretty knowledgeable, which leads us right into Mike Grenier coming up in just a second about the Celtics. So, again, this is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Pass the word. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, and Twitter is the same thing, at msonewsports. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back with Mike Grenier as the NBA heads into the finals and the Celtics ain't there. But we'll see what Mike has to say here in just a few minutes. So stay with us. We'll be back. Bye-bye.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, Mike Grenier is with us now, sports writer for the Salem News and other entities as well, and a long time colleague here on the North Shore, covering so many different things. Mike, welcome back. And I, you know, in checking in with you, I guess it was today, you did not hide your disappointment in the Celtics.
No, you know, and first of all, kudos to you guys for first having Danny Ventura on. You know, Danny has been a long time journalistic colleague and champions high school sports. Love Danny. I've known him for decades. And secondly, I did hear you ask Gary Larrabee about whether he's exclusively a golf guy. And Tim, I know you asked about the Celtics, but I can attest to the fact that Gary Larrabee had much interest in the Celtics Heat series. He was texting me at midnight most nights of the of the Miami. And
okay.
He was complaining about who was playing well, who wasn't playing well, and we were exchanging texts. So there's definitely some passion still there for basketball with Gary Larrabee.
But you know what, Mike and Tim and Gary, if you're listening, if anybody knew our cumulative ages here, you know, they'd say, "What? That can't be right," because we are all so much into this stuff still.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, actually, I remember meeting Bill Sharman when I was like 8 or 9 years old. I just moved to Massachusetts, and he gave a public speaking engagement at the Lawrence Armory. And I got his autograph afterwards, and he kind of walked me around the armory, talked to me about basketball. One of the nicest people in the world. Of course,
wow.
He became the general manager of the Lakers when they were really a powerhouse later on in his career and all that. So we go way back. But, yes, to get back to your original point, Rick, yes, I did not hide my disappointment. I felt that, as we know, guys, you know, the Celtics have made the Eastern Conference Finals three of the last 4 years, and I think for a couple of those times it was a feel-good story, and it was like, okay, the Celtics are getting closer, and they'll get them next year or 2 years from now, and so there was not that much disappointment when they lost. But this time, this season, I felt there was definitely a lot of disappointment and a sense of, you know, squelching an opportunity, because they were playing the fifth-seeded Miami Heat, who, granted, they're playing the best basketball of the season for them. However, the Celtics kind of let the first two games slip away, and that put them in a bind, and they kind of recovered and won game five. And, of course, last night they were in a position to win, up 6 points, 96-90, and then were outscored 26-6 the rest of the way. So they kind of collapsed like the Berlin Wall in 1989. And that was just a vast disappointment to me. I felt they could have gone on and played the Lakers, and, just Brad Stevens couldn't take him to the next level.
All right. Mike, Gary said, there are certain sports writers in the area who said that, you know, they're missing a couple of pieces, but he couldn't think of what pieces they were.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe you disagree with this, the NBA is going back to having a big man. You know,
yep.
With Giannis and Miami had a big guy. The Celtics didn't have a big guy. Tice is a nice piece, but he couldn't handle the big guys. They're going to have to go and try to find a big, agile, athletic body to play center.
Tim, you're right. And if you look at the Lakers, the upcoming series, they have JaVale McGee, who's a 7-footer. They have Anthony Davis, who's a power forward, who's a 7-footer. They have like 3 guys with 7 feet. Okay, so you're right. And in this series, it was very telling. As much as we like Daniel Tice, and he maximizes ability, he couldn't handle Bam Adebayo, who was 3 or 4 inches taller, very athletic. Adebayo dominated the series. As well as Tice played, he couldn't match him. I think ideally, Tim, if the Celtics in the offseason, if Danny Ainge pursued some kind of veteran big man who could start and play 20, 25 minutes and then have Tice come in and be the backup center, where Tice gives you the tough defensive minutes and can score a little bit and he could scrap, but you still, like you just said, they need a taller, true big man to combat the elite big men of the league. And I think that should be one of Danny Ainge's primary pursuits in the offseason. And I know Gary Larrabee alluded to missing parts. I think the other missing part, Tim, I'd like to have you guys chime in on this, would be some more adequate backup help for the core players, meaning not Brad Wanamaker. He was okay. But when you were reaching down to Enos Kanter, who proved to be ineffective, and you know, draft picks like Romeo Langford played for a minute, then got re-injured. Carson Edwards didn't play at all. Robert Williams is still a complete mystery, although he could develop into that big man. But at this point, he hasn't shown enough ability to be counted on, to be reliable as perhaps the future big man of the Boston Celtics. So, you know, I think the missing parts would be some veteran help coming off the bench to go with their core players. You know, we know their core players. Rick, we've spoken how many times about how great Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are, and they are. I mean, here's the thing that happened in this series, though, I thought, Tim, and I just see what you think. Tatum got worn down, and he forced things. He ended up shooting 41% for the series, only 30% from three-point, whereas Jaylen Brown, I think, varied his game, took it to the basket. He ended up shooting 55% from the floor and 50% from three-point land. That's very hard to do against elite competition. But I think Jaylen Brown exploited whatever Miami gave him. He fought through what could be effective for the Celtics. I thought he was by far the best player on the Boston Celtics against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Does it hurt the Celts to have two guys, Tatum and Brown, whose games are so much alike? And
yep.
They're practically mirror images of each other, I think, in terms of size, quickness, basketball IQ. And does it hurt them to have two guys like that on the court at the same time? Because,
no,
you know,
I don't think so.
Do they look to feed the other? Do they hesitate to take shots because they're trying not to hog the ball, but trying to maintain some kind of balance?
I think, Tim, that they're complementary players. You know, you have the Kemba Walker in the middle of this. He's the point guard distributing the ball and also scoring. But I think that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, if you're game planning for them, if you're Bill Belichick, coaching basketball, you have to game plan for both of those guys because they both can be devastating forces. And then you have Kemba, you know, who can be a great scorer. He was kind of in and out throughout these playoffs here as far as his scoring up and down. But I think they're kind of complementary players, Tatum and Hayward. They're both potential all-stars. I mean, obviously Tatum's already made an all-star team. I think Jaylen Brown is next because he's just, I think he took a step forward during these playoffs. While Jason Tatum had his moments, I think he leveled off and then, like, he kind of regressed a little bit, whereas Jaylen Brown upgraded his game throughout these playoffs, and I think he'll go into next season confident. But, you know, what we also have to look at, guys, I think, is what kind of decision needs to be made about Marcus Smart? Because, obviously, there was that dust-up after Game 2 where Jaylen Brown and Smart supposedly almost came to blows. Marcus Smart did not shoot well in his Heat series. Yes, he made all defensive first team, but will there be any simmering effects of the relationship between Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart?
I think,
go ahead, guys.
I was going to interrupt, Mike. I think that's a great question. I don't worry about it a lot because you know you've been in a locker room. Emotions, especially the competitiveness, the level of competition with those guys, how serious it is, and. You know, when you get to that level, I'm not really kind of worried about that, but it's worth noting. But I think it plays into what you said earlier. A couple of things before the series started, you mentioned the depth of Miami and their bench, and then you just pointed out, as you have all along, that the Celtics don't have that kind of bench. And it led me to, you mentioned Belichick, and I was thinking what Belichick has done and Red Auerbach used to do is he's gone after the competent, seasoned, grizzled pro who wants a championship and is willing to subjugate his ego to win that championship. And all the guys you mentioned on the bench, well, most of the guys you mentioned, they're young guys, they're kids. You know, with those draft choices, and I just wonder if that makes sense. To, you know, what I'm hearing you say is what Arbach used to do and what Belichick is doing, and get that go find that guy who's unhappy in his role wherever he is. He may not be a superstar, but he's damn good.
Yeah, you're right, and that's what I'm getting at. I think they need to add a veteran body or two while these young players are still developing, and that means Robert Williams and Carson Edwards and Tremont Waters and Romeo Langford. But for the playoffs, when the pressure's on and every coach shortens his bench and uses just six or seven or eight players, you want that veteran. Hey, Doc Rivers had it back in 2008 when they won it. Right, Tim? We know that Leon Poe played a role. P.J. Brown, they picked him up later in the season. He played a huge role in the playoffs. Veteran guys who don't get scared of the limelight, the spotlight, and the pressure. And I think Danny Ainge needs to find that guy in this offseason. I think that should be a primary objective for Danny Ainge. And, you know, the Miami Heat, you got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, Spoelstra only used six, seven guys, but Tyler Hero was phenomenal in this series. Just a 19-year-old kid who was a rookie and was drafted just to, supposedly the Celtics would have drafted Tyler Hero. He had a phenomenal series. And last night, of all people, the guy that hurt the Celtics, Andre Iguodala. Now, that's a guy, 34 years old. He shoots 5-for-5 from the floor, 4-for-4 on threes in the biggest game of the series. That's the kind of guy that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If they had a 31, 32-year-old guy who's taken his hard knocks and knows what the game is all about, that's the kind of guy that I'm hoping the Celtics can get in the offseason to complement that very good young core group.
Tim, final questions for Mike.
Your take on the Pats, 2-1.
Well, you know, I love the way they're playing. You know, Cam Newton is he's playing with a joie de vivre, as they would say in Paris.
Okay.
You know,
Woo.
He's having so much fun, and that was missing. And, hey, you know, I'll always love Tom Brady. He got him the 6 championships with a lot of help, obviously. He can never be duplicated. But, you know, at this stage of their career, Tom Brady, we hope, has a terrific year with Tampa Bay. But Cam Newton, who I had kind of my doubts about, he's bringing a lot of joy to this, you know, this locker room and to that field, and he was having a blast yesterday. So who knows? I mean, they could be easily 3-0, you know, as they head into Kansas City this coming Sunday.
You know, I'm impressed by his demeanor, too, in these interviews. And, you know, obviously he has a giant ego, as all those guys do, but he is quick to talk about team and teammates and admit his own shortcomings.
Right, and also, too, what's helped the first three games, guys, is they've had two games, the Miami game and yesterday's game against the Las Vegas Raiders, where they went over 200 yards rushing.
Yep.
And obviously that helps a quarterback's passing game when you're getting that kind of threat from your running game and from your offensive line. So yeah, right now, I'd say for a lot of people, a lot of critics, I think, thought this team would tank, not tank, but maybe go 6-10 or 7-9. I don't think that's happening. Belichick is too competitive. He's too great a coach. And he gets the moving parts to put them in the right places. I mean, they had some kid come off this practice squad yesterday. He took an end around and went 15 yards. We never heard of the kid.
Well, how about Tooney at center and a rookie right guard?
That's right. I mean, he did a great job, and Cam Newton was quick to point that out afterwards. So yeah, they're a fun team to watch. We don't know how far they're going to go. They have the toughest schedule in the NFL, the number one ranked toughest schedule. But things look promising.
Agreed. Mike, we'll do it again next week because the playoffs are still on.
Right, exactly, and we'll see how. Like Gary Larrabee, I'll say I'll be rooting for the Miami Heat for them to continue this run.
All right.
Who wants LeBron to win it again?
There you go. Oh, I wish we could do this in person. Hey, Mike, this is great. So we'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Yeah, it's great. Great for you guys. Talk to you guys. I'm glad Ventura was on and Gary Larrabee and all that. You keep up the great work.
Ah, that's awesome. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Yeah.
All right.
See you next week.
Very good. That's Mike Grenier, who is what do you call it now? It's not a stringer, but he's really a sports writer emeritus for the Salem News, but just still so knowledgeable. And so, Tim, to have that energy again and to have that, you know, that the vision, I guess, is what you call it. He never criticizes or knocks, but he points out stuff in a critique way, and I like that.
Yeah, kind of like you, Rick.
Yeah, because I never criticize, you know, always the positive. So, Tim, any final thoughts there, kid?
Nope.
That's it?
Thank God the Sox are over. Too bad the Celts are out of it, you know, but go Pats.
There you go. All right. All right, Tim, you stay safe. We'll check in with you next Monday, and eventually you're going to get back in the studio with me, I hope.
Yeah, then I'm, you know, then things will run a little smoother.
It's getting there. We'll get there. All right. Yeah, it definitely will run smoother. Yeah. Yeah. Believe me. I'm sitting in your chair, and it's I just don't do it properly. Hey, Coach, thank you so much. Stay safe. We'll check in with you Monday.
All right, Eric.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Good night.
All right. That is Tim Kearns, who is our special analyst here on MSO News Sports and our Goodwill ambassador as well. And I appreciate that Tim has been doing this for so long. For so little. I don't sound like him, but I'm quoting Churchill, I guess, in a way here, but I don't want to get into that. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Pass the word if you would, please. And you can find us on email at msonewsports@gmail.com. Pass along your suggestions and complaints, criticisms, if you have them. We'd appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. On behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. This is msonewsports.com.